On agenda tonight, we're considering what's gone wrong with the Department of Infrastructure. Was it set up to fail by former Chief Minister Tony Brown? Bet you can guess what he thinks. Is the DOI unmanageable, unwieldy, and just too big to keep under control? Former DOI Chief Exec Ian Thompson gives us his thoughts. DOI is undoubtedly a controversial department and most people have strong views about it. Will tonight's agenda change or reinforce your view? So did DOI's creator, Tony Brown, really think the DOI could work? Tony Brown, you're the architect of the DOI. Yeah, you created it many would say it was designed to fail. It never had a chance. Is that a reasonable thing to say?
No, it's a load of rubbish, isn't it? I mean, one of the things we're finding out every time there's a problem, all the past government keeps saying is, we need to change it, and they move stuff out and put it somewhere else. But the problem hasn't gone away because you've just moved it somewhere else, and one of the dangers is they keep moving some of these components into the Cabinet Office that is so big, which only has one minister, no members. I don't think it has any members anyway. And it's all officer orientated. My view is that's more suited to a place that doesn't have a democratic system like we have. It's a Politburo. It's there to centralise and control. DOI, with commitment by both the minister, the members, and senior officers, and the right calibre of senior officers, doesn't have a problem. What is the problem is if it gets tied down, as it has done, in a bureaucracy, and the whole thing is slowly grinding to a halt because of those things not being done properly. That's my view. Now, you know, we have a new minister. I hope he'll get to grips with it. But you don't need to dismantle it to make it work, because the problem doesn't go away. Because there still are political decisions to be made, whether it's about highways, whether it's about public transport, whether it's about whatever. These things over years were put together because before they didn't work. In other words, you have public transport totally separate from highways and having different issues. And I'll just give a simple example. Highways built the roads, but the bus shelters had to be put in by public transport. And public transport didn't have the money to put a bus shelter up. So when the highways rebuilt a road, there was no bus shelter. And they come back 2 years later and put a bus shelter up. When they became one, it was fine because it was all the same budget, the same responsibilities. So when they rebuilt the highway, they put a new bus shelter up at the same time. A very simplistic view. You don't need to dismantle something to make it work. In fact, you know, we're all good at dismantling things. What we have a lack of are people to actually build things up.
And if you recall, the 2008 VAT renegotiation, we were all sat round the Council of Ministers table, hands ringing, trying to work out how were we going to manage to put a budget together. The obvious and immediate answer at the time was we needed to cut infrastructure spending because we could do that fairly quickly. But I still remember the discussions, and they were very much along the lines of, you can do this for a short period, but sooner or later the wheels will start to come off. Yeah. And of course, what happened was the cuts were made. Perhaps there's been some increase in budget subsequent to that, but nowhere near the amount put back in that was taken off in the first place.
Absolutely. And if you look at the DOI, they've got rid of substantial numbers of manual staff and increased their office staff, to use a term, so the specialists and so on within the department. They've increased those but got rid of all their manual workers. So they now can't repair the roads because they haven't got enough staff. They're going out to contract where they sometimes have very little control. Even putting signs out and putting cones out, they're paying every day for that to be done, whereas it was all done in-house. It's these fundamentals that need looking at, not dismantling it. And to be honest, without commitment at the top, there is a problem. And that commitment has to be there from the chief executive down and from the minister down. And if they get the unit under control, it works. It is a big unit, DOI. Lots of wide-ranging responsibilities, but they're all sectionalised in terms of within the department. The big advantage, as you know, you've been there, I've been there, is that one minister can determine a policy for that whole department that makes it work together well. It stops the barriers, it stops the silos within the department, as people use that term. Because the minister could say, no, I don't agree. Here, I have an overview. We'll make that work. So I think it's just an excuse, and they will dismantle bits, and it'll make no difference. It won't improve the service to the public. It won't make it better. It's the bureaucracy that needs sorting out, not just in DOI. We're so bureaucratic in the Isle of Man, it's unbelievable now. We've gone right down this road of everything has to be on forms. You have to sign for everything. Everything is protected. We employ people, and they're meant to have responsibilities. Not close everything down so it makes our lives a misery, which is what's happening.
My confident prediction for 2024, I reckon, is they'll have worked out that all the knee-jerk stuff they've done hasn't worked, and they're going to actually have to properly fund the thing.
Oh, if you don't fund it properly, the whole thing grinds to a halt. Hmm. And, I mean, you've now got a situation where the latest thing I think came out was, to the public, please tell us where you see potholes.
Hmm.
Hang on, that's not my job, it's not your job. They used to employ people in the different regions, I know this, and their job was to ensure that the roads were maintained to a reasonable standard.
That was former Chief Minister Tony Brown. What does former DOI Chief Exec Ian Thompson think?
Yeah, well, I came, first of all, into the role of Capital Projects Coordinator in government and did that for 8 years. So you get a kind of a broad overview of everything that's going on, capital-wise, and to an extent revenue-wise, across the whole of government. But more importantly, of course, you get to learn how it works, who people are, what the relationships are, what the perhaps opportunities are, because you're not involved directly in all of them. You have an overview.
So then you moved from capital projects into DOT chief exec role. So what was the difference there?
It was 100% difference, because you're a member of a team in Treasury with a completely different set of objectives. But when you become chief exec of a department, of course, you move into the world of accountability. And also a lot more political awareness, because you are there to serve the minister and deliver his policies and his objectives and the members of the department.
And in terms of that accountability, this is something we heard a lot about at the last election, particularly from some of the candidates who hadn't been MHKs previously, that officers needed to be held to account. I mean, is it always the way with politicians? It's the officers that need to be held to account. But how does the accountability actually work, or how did it work in your time?
Well, I think the same as it is now. Ultimately, the minister is the department. He's appointed into that department, and then it cascades down through his chief executive. There is proper delegations given for whatever parameters he sees fit. And then the chief exec delegates them downwards to, say, the director of this, the director of that, say, the airports or the ports or whatever. So it cascades down the pile. But ultimately, in terms of the executive, the officers, it sits with the chief exec. But ultimately, it's the minister.
I suppose a lot of members of the public take the view, well, look at this, a big disaster has happened, and it's always disasters with DOT and DOI, isn't it? Big disasters happened here, but nobody's been held to account, i.e. nobody's been sacked, which is effectively what people are wanting. To a certain extent, it's a bit like a blood sport, isn't it, being minister and chief exec in DOI, DOT?
Yeah, blood on the carpet is the is the expression, isn't it? The accountability, it's a difficulty in some ways for a chief exec when you've got a department full of specialists. For instance, the director of the airport, or the ports as it is now, has those specialisms, be that about matters regarding traffic control or in other areas, highway laws and regulations. They have their own specialism. If you go to Home Affairs, essentially you've got a group of chief execs underneath the chief exec, the specialist in prison, the specialist in police, i.e. the chief constable, etc. And that's where you've got to really be very clear with people what those delegations are and how you expect them to interact with the rest of the department. Plus, of course, one of the big benefits is that when you have all those specialisms, you do meet and you do talk things through. So you get all the points of view where you're discussing a particular issue, be that Iris. Do you remember Iris?
I do, yes. Almost finished.
And things like that, where you can actually hear other points of view with their expertise coming in. The Department of Infrastructure is there really to pick up the overview of all the island's infrastructure that isn't in the private sector. And I lobbied for the inclusion of Isle of Man Transport to be included, because that's part of the island's infrastructure. And strangely, after I'd gone, it did it did appear in the department. But then the department did shed some other bits and pieces like planning and the building regs side and things like that.
And I suppose there's a fair argument that would say if you are the organisation of government that submits the most plans, having planning permission, being able, I mean, and the way the public might see it is effectively you grant your own planning permission. I mean, obviously it wasn't like that. There were separations and this and that, but having it in a separate department makes it absolutely clear, I suppose.
Yeah. It the word's conflict, isn't it? A conflict of interest. Because ultimately, going back to where we started, the minister has the overview of planning and the delivery side of things. So, yeah, he's poacher and gamekeeper, you could say. But in reality, yes, it was something. I would both defend the planning committee and the department in that they never, ever gave any quarter. They dealt with every application as robustly as any other application.
We're trying to help people understand what it is, you know, what your role is as chief exec. Yeah, I mean, is it a 9-to-5 job, 5 days a week?
Nothing like. No, you're never off duty. It would be silly to say it's 24/7. Of course it isn't. But you're always available. During TT, you'll get a call, come now, and you come now. It's as easy as that. It's one of those jobs where, you know, you may recall we had incidents in the harbour with Royal Navy personnel. And I got the call about that at about 1 a.m. I was told by a member of my staff once about setting the bar too high. And the answer to that is, you have a job to do and expect you to do it. And chanting about working hours won't fix it. Mm. If you're a manager and you know that there is a problem, that's part of your job, is to find a way of fixing it.
And part of the overall problem in terms of hours and staff numbers, and of course everybody listening to this show who has had no direct involvement with DOI will say, yes, far too much management and we need to get the finances directed to the front of house. I seem to recall, as the fresh, wet behind the ears DOI minister coming in, DOT, who effectively was the forerunner, just massively slashed budgets just before the amalgamation, which meant there was significantly less resource available to do the work. So how do you manage with something like that?
Well, of course, it's easier at the start, to use that hackneyed expression, the low-hanging fruit goes first, doesn't it? Mm. And then it's about prioritisation, and it's about political expediency as well. We must never, ever miss out what the priorities still are of the politicians, because they're put there for a reason. But generally, yes, we went through a period when the VAT problem was going on, where almost monthly I was getting instructions to get rid of 5 million, 6 million, because, and again, this sounds a bit trite, but because we were one of the easiest departments to do it. And certainly, for a while, if this, that and the other doesn't get done, people don't mind or don't notice, because they have low expectations, which was always my goal, was to improve that view. But it's always going to happen, isn't it, that in the end something snaps, so you don't maintain a shop. So in the end, the gutters collapse and the people walking on the streets below get soaked, and then somebody does something about it. With roads, of course, it's always the things at the forefront of potholes. But then the improvement schemes, which are revenue rather than capital based, in other words, glorified maintenance projects, don't happen. And it takes a while before that actually hits the forefront of people's awareness. But we were, I can remember one day, I think it was 55 members of staff left us in one day. And that was really, people were volunteering. And unfortunately, when people volunteer, you tend to lose some of your expertise. Some of the guys who you really don't want to lose, but if you're going to play a straight bat with them, you've got to, everybody's got to have the same chance.
It would be useful to explain why DOI is an easy target for cutting. Why would you go to DOI, which is, or certainly was, when I left, the third largest department of government, and not education or health? And I think I'm answering my own question, but
I think you did, Minister. Yeah, it's one of those things. People's health and education will always be a priority, and quite rightly so, over infrastructure. But there's a point at which you've got to know when to say no. Because if you don't do this, whatever will happen. And that's not a threat, it's a reality. Hmm. And the clever way is, of course, not to get into that position. It's by negotiating and trying to be pragmatic and open-handed and talk to people, explain what you're doing and why you're delaying whatever it is, or even speeding things up, because sometimes you can speed things up. I can remember we were doing double shift work, very much supported by the union leaders, and we were able to actually deliver jobs, I think Jenny Watterson's Lane was one of them, faster and therefore cheaper than originally intended. There's a point at which, though, then you lose the public because you're still hammering and banging at 8 o'clock at night when the kids are in bed.
Yeah.
But being innovative and discussing, well, what can we do, very much produces results. But also saying, this is what we're doing and this is why we're doing it, doesn't half take the sting out of it.
And since, obviously, one of the worst things that can happen to you in any role is for someone who went before you to come in and tell you, oh, no, I wouldn't have done it like that. And what are you doing this for?
Yeah.
However, I'm going to ask you to do just that. you've been out of the DOI now 8 years, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So are there any obvious observations that you've made since you've left? I mean, are there things that you could see were inevitable that have ended up happening? What is your thinking? Because it is fair to say that the reputation of the DOI is not high amongst the Manx public.
No, and of course at the forefront of it all is the promenade scheme.
Yeah,
and yeah, in my day we were looking at doing the promenade scheme in bite-sized chunks, and in the end, it seemed to most of us that it was ultimately done all at once. Which, you know, is about resources in the end. But without knowing what was going on and what the reasons for the decisions were, it's very hard to comment rationally. It's very easy to make clever comments, throwaway comments. Yes, and by sounding like some sort of clever so-and-so, yeah, I wouldn't have done it that way. Well, that's fine, but you've got to know what all the parameters are at the time. Now, I don't know anything about the rationale behind the prom. It may have been political expediency to get a more obvious presence down the prom rather than just doing it in chunks. You know, there's a parallel, isn't there, between how the pedestrianised area was done in bite-sized chunks and the prom was done originally in chunks, but then it did seem to be merged into one big scheme. And so you've got to know what the circumstances are at the time. But again, it's all about communicating to people. And, you know, I'm sure some of the hoteliers have felt they've had a really raw deal. And whether they have or they haven't, it's important, and it's ultra critical that you get people on board to understand what you're going to do. But once you've told them that, you've got to do it.
Pretty much everybody on the Isle of Man thinks they know how to fix a pothole and how to clean a street and how to do all the things that it is that the DOI do in such a obvious and public way. How do you get people on board?
You've got to do a lot of what we did, which was when we have a particular issue and you know it's going to be critical, perhaps either physically critical or politically critical, then engage with the people who are involved. And if you remember, there were no end of consultations on the prom. Whether or not all of them were necessary ultimately, I don't know. But certainly at the start, we formed a structure, there were working groups, and we tried our level best to get people on board. But then something will change and perhaps delays occur to the programme, not to the actual scheme, because it's not started yet. But it means cash flow isn't available because something's happened to us. COVID must have had a massive effect on the current scheme known as the prom. It really must. And getting people, I mean, some of it was very famously public, of course, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But a lot of it is about things that you couldn't possibly see coming. The real cleverness about projects is to be able to analyse as many risks as possible so that there aren't such big surprises. And where you are, you do know you're going to get risk and stuff that's around that is impossible, unforeseeable, like COVID, that at least you make some sort of provision in terms of a risk pot. Hmm. But that's not the end of it. Once you've got that, you've got to review that all the time because things change.
What would be your top bits of advice, maybe your top two, three bits of advice to whoever takes on what could be described as the poison chalice?
I think if I was doing it again, I would take exactly the same approach as I did. And that's, you've got two main work fronts. One is the political interface, and understand what the minister and his members, her members, are all about. What are their priorities? What do they see as their top issues to deal with? And then talk to the staff. Try and understand, first of all, what they all do. Because you need to respect, there's some good people in there. There's some really good people in there. And understand what they do. And then talk to them about what they'd like to do. Before you go wading in on your chariot, go and find out what it's about first. To me, that's essential. But don't make a meal of it.
So there is still hope for the DOI then?
Of course there is. Yeah, I think it was a great department. I've no idea what's there today in terms of its delivery and reputation and all the rest of it. You kind of learn to stay. I still get phone calls telling me what's wrong with this, that, and the other. And I just have to sit there and listen. It's no use saying it's nothing to do with me. I wouldn't say it's a poison chalice. It's try it again. It's an opportunity to try and recover things. And I think we did recover a lot. And make sure that in the end, when you've done what you're doing, you know you did your best and what you did was right. That's that.
So there you have it. DOI's not fundamentally flawed, but is in need of a great deal of care and attention. You can listen again to the show on Manx Radio's website as a podcast, also available on Spotify. I'm hoping to revisit this topic with former DOI ministers sometime soon. And of course, there's always an open invitation for the current DOI minister to join us on Agenda. But for now, I'm Phil Gorn, Gurumayu. Thanks for listening.